As Kevin mentioned, we are starting a new sermon series today. It's based on the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew's Gospel. And it is a sermon itself, and we're going to break it up into several different sermons. But it's the largest collection of Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. And it occurs on a mountain, which is why it's called the Sermon on the Mountain. Chapter 5, verse 1, it tells us that Jesus goes up to a high place in order to teach his disciples and the people. That's in contrast with in Luke's gospel, there's a similar place where Jesus teaches for a long period of time, but it's on a flat place, and so it's called the Sermon on the Plain, but we're doing the Sermon on the Mount today. Now, we are calling this sermon series, But I Say, and the I there is Jesus, not me. And the reason we're calling it that is in chapter 6, especially, Jesus says, you have heard it said, ABC, but I say to you, XYZ. And every time that Jesus does that, he makes it harder for us. Right? I mean, he says, you've heard this one thing, and this is one way to live, and it's something you might be able to do, but I say you need to go even farther. You need to do even more. You need to live in an even more holy type of way. He makes it hard for us. And that's throughout this, all of Jesus' teaching, but especially here in the Sermon on the Mount. And so, what we look at here is the teaching of Jesus, and especially how difficult it can be to follow what he teaches us. Jesus here is concerned not with what we believe or what we think or certain doctrines. He's much more concerned about how we live our lives, about how we treat other people, about how we live and operate in the world. In the modern church, we have in many ways become obsessed, or at least much more focused on what we believe and believe in the right thing, having orthodoxy, thinking the right way. Jesus doesn't seem so concerned about that as he is about how we live our lives, how we love God in the world, how we love our neighbors. And for us to do that is a difficult task. For us to follow everything that Jesus teaches is a hard thing to do. But that's why we do it in community. That's why we're gathered in this place to learn and to struggle and to help each other live lives of love. And so this is the journey that we embark on together, living as Jesus teaches us to live. Today we begin, not at the beginning though, we begin in chapter 7. And there's, at least I think, a good reason for that. If many of you are familiar with the lectionary, which is a tool that is provided to churches that offers some scripture passages every Sunday of the year. And in 2 weeks, the scripture passage, the gospel passage for the lectionary, begins at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're going to do the end here at the beginning, and then we'll be even with the lectionary for the rest of our time up until Lent. So for those of you who love the lectionary, this is the sermon series for you, because we're going to be on the lectionary for most of it. So I know Mary Evelyn will be happy about that. She gets on me for not following the lectionary. All right. I think that's enough as far as introductions go. So one other thing about the Sermon on the Mount is that there are lots of phrases in it that are familiar to us. Many of the things we hear from Jesus' teaching here are things that we've heard over and over, especially if we've been part of the church. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Ask, seek, knock. All those are just from the few verses today, and there are many more. So many of these are familiar teachings, but hopefully we'll take a fresh look and see just how difficult they can be to follow. So the first part of this, do not judge so that you may not be judged. I told you it was hard, right? It is hard not to judge other people. That's just part of our nature, isn't it, that we judge others? I think this is right. When it benefits us and the people we love, we want justice. But when it doesn't benefit us and the people we love, we want grace. Right? We want justice when it's in our interest, and we want grace when justice wouldn't be in our interest. And that's part of what this passage, I think, is saying to us, is that it doesn't work that way. You got to have consistent standards across life, right? You can't just be looking out for yourself, but for others as well. We're getting into awards season in Hollywood. The Golden Globes happened, I think, last weekend. The Oscars are coming up, the Tonys and all of those. Have y'all watched any of those red carpet shows with those award shows where people just basically sit there and analyze what people are wearing at these award shows? Talk about judging, right? Now, I don't want to judge, but a lot of times the judges are in way worse clothing than the people in the red carpet, right? So that's an example of how we judge in life and society. A lot of movies, especially about high school, have themes of judgment. Or Mean Girls. Anybody's ever seen Mean Girls? Oh, man, there's some judgment there. Or reality television, like all the Real Housewives, those shows, and all kinds of others, right? They're just full of judgment, people looking at others and judging them. Now, I know most of you, and none of you are that judgmental, right? Right? Amen? Yeah? Okay. All right. But we all judge, don't we? I mean, it's just human nature to judge others and to judge ourselves. We do it all the time. At least, I know I do. This week in particular, or it might have been last week, I was convicted about a judgment that I made. I was in the office here at church, and if you're not familiar with the office, there's the outer office, and we usually have a volunteer in there during our office hours, and then my office is behind that. And so anybody who's coming to see me comes to the outer office first. And so I was in my office working on some stuff, and the volunteer came in and told me that there was someone here to see me. Now, usually if it's somebody from the church, they'll say, oh, so-and-so is here. And so I knew right off the bat that this wasn't somebody that I knew. And I made a snap judgment that whoever this was is somebody who probably wants something, who probably wants some money to pay their light bill, or wants some food, or wants some help, or whatever it might be. And I was in the middle of something, and I just had this snap judgment. I don't want to deal with this person, right? I judged them before I even saw the person, even knew who it was. And I go out, and it's this man who is a member of another church in the area and is part of a prayer breakfast group and wanted to invite me to do something with them and to pray for us as a church. And I was just convicted afterwards that I judged him without even seeing him and assumed that he wanted something from me when in fact he wanted to offer me and our church something. We make those kind of judgments all the time, though, don't we? We see somebody on the street who's begging, and we make a judgment about that person. We see a parent yelling at their kids at the grocery store, and we make a judgment. We see somebody who's being rude to the server at the restaurant, and we make a judgment. It's just part of our nature as human beings. There's this quote, I want to get it right. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. Everybody has their own struggles, their own things that they deal with. And all too often, we are quick to jump to judgments and conclusions about them. But Jesus tells us, don't do that. Don't judge. Jesus tells another story in Luke's gospel about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And both of them go to pray, and the Pharisee stands there all high and mighty and holy and says, thank you, God, that I'm not like this tax collector. The Pharisee doesn't even talk to the tax collector, doesn't get to know him, doesn't get to understand his life and his struggles. He just makes a judgment that he is better without learning anything about this other person. We are called not to judge, but to get to know one another, to hear the stories of others, to imagine what life is like to walk in their shoes, not to judge, but to build relationships. Do not judge, because if we do, we'll face that same judgment. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. Let's sing the same thing in two different ways, right? Jesus and other parts of the Bible do this often where, to emphasize a point, they say the same thing just in a different kind of way. Both of these animals were considered unclean, swine or pigs and dogs. Ones that you wouldn't associate with. Nancy told me to tell y'all that one tastes better than the other. I'll let you figure out which one. But they are neither animals that they would want to associate with. Now, today we think of dogs as cute and cuddly and pets and welcome them into our homes and love them. And, you know, people, I was down visiting my parents over right after Christmas, and there was a lady taking her dog for a walk. But it's not what you think. She was pushing a stroller, and the dog was in the stroller, right? Just this little tiny dog. People love their dogs now. It wasn't that way in Jesus' day. Dogs were not the revered kind of animals that they are now. Dogs and swine were unclean, things that you didn't want anything to do with. And so what is the point here? That's often the question we need to ask when we hear a teaching from the Bible, and especially from Jesus. Why? Why is this important? My kids ask that same question all the time, right? And I try to give the answer, because I said so, doesn't go over well, right? When I was a kid, I got that answer all the time. I promised myself as a parent I would never give that answer. I would always have the patience to explain everything to my kids. Doesn't happen. But Jesus is patient, and he tells us why. He says, or they will trample them underfoot and turn and maul you. Jesus is saying that there is actual danger when we don't treat things that are holy as if they are holy. When we profane that which is sacred, there is actually something dangerous to us in that act. It's kind of like in the medical profession. If something is hurting you, if it's causing you pain, you've got to pay attention to it and treat it. In psychology, if there's something that triggers some kind of response and reaction from you, you've got to pay attention to that and treat it and explore it. And in our lives, if God is doing something, if there is something holy and sacred going on, we need to pay attention to it and join in with it. It's like the story of Jonah in the Old Testament. Remember that prophet? God tells him to go to Nineveh and to preach to the people there, and Jonah doesn't want to do that. And so he hops on a boat. He goes in the opposite direction, and there's a great storm. And they figure out that Jonah is the reason for the storm, because he's not doing what God wants. He's not tending to the sacred. And so they throw Jonah overboard into the water, and the storm stops. Of course, Jonah is swallowed by this fish, which actually is an act of God's grace and mercy, spit up on shore, and he goes and does what God says, and everything turns out well in the end. We have to pay attention to what God is doing. We have to treat what God is doing with respect and join in. And sometimes that is hard work. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. My initial reaction to reading that is, really? Because that's not been my experience. I don't get everything that I ask for. I don't find everything that I seek. I certainly don't get every door open to me that I knock on. That's not been my experience. Maybe it has been yours, but it's not been mine. I think about all the people in the world who are suffering in so many different ways, and I imagine that they are asking and seeking and knocking, and yet it's not answered. They don't get what they want. And I think often we have this idea that that's how God works, that God is like this cosmic vending machine, that we put in our request, we put in the quarter, and out spits whatever that we want. But that is not the way that God works. And when we read passages like this in that way, I think we miss the point. And so if we take a closer look at this, I think we might understand a little bit differently. Those three verbs, ask, seek, and knock, are actually all three verbs that are used to talk about prayer. Prayer itself. Rabbis would teach about how to pray, and those were words that they would use. And so I think this passage, this little snippet of teaching, is actually about prayer and about our persistence in prayer and God's promise not to do exactly everything that we pray for, but to meet us in prayer. that when we pray, when we ask, when we seek earnestly, when we knock, that God is there and God will meet us in that prayer. Jesus tells another little story here about if your child asks for bread, you wouldn't give him a stone. If she asks for fish, you wouldn't give her a snake. And I think that's true. That reveals God's character to us. If we are truly earnestly seeking something that is good, God's not going to give us something horrible. But God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we want. God is not this cosmic vending machine. But God does promise to meet us when we pray, to join in our prayers with us, to hear us, and to respond and to be in relationship with us. But it's our job to do those three verbs, to ask, to seek, and to knock. And all of those involve work on our part. Finally, we turn to the last bit, one that we've heard many times. In everything, do unto others as you would have them do to you. The golden rule, right? One of the fascinating things about this particular teaching is that it occurs in almost every religion and every culture across the entire globe. Almost everywhere you look, there is some form of this commandment or injunction. It's almost like there's this universal truth that everybody is getting some kind of grasp at. Sometimes it's phrased negatively. Sometimes it's phrased, don't do to other people what you wouldn't want to be done to you. It occurs in the Old Testament a couple of times that way. And sometimes it's in the positive, like Jesus does here. Do to other people what you would have them do unto you. Do unto others what you would have them do unto you. Simple words that most of us learn as a young child. And yet it's very hard to do, isn't it? It's much easier to treat others without the respect and the dignity and the grace that they deserve and that we deserve as well. Sometimes it's easier to think of other people not as people, as human beings like us, but almost as objects or things to be dealt with in the world. But imagine how different the world would be if everybody lived this out. Imagine how different society and our city and our church, our family, everything would be if we just did this simple thing, to treat others the way that we want to be treated, to afford others that same love and dignity and respect that we want for ourselves. Imagine homelessness. Would that really be a thing if we treated others the way we want to be treated? Would hunger still exist in the world? Poverty, loneliness, and isolation. So many of the things that make life difficult wouldn't be there if we simply do unto others as we would have them do unto us. There's a story about two rabbis and a person who wanted to become their disciple and was kind of a smart aleck about it, and came to one and said, I will become your disciple if you can teach me all of the law and the prophets while you stand on one leg. And the rabbi was like, that's just ridiculous. And he smacked him with a cane and sent him on his way. But the guy came to the second rabbi, said the same thing. I will become your disciple if you can teach me all the law and the prophets while you stand on one leg. The rabbi stood on a leg and said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Everything else in the law and the prophets is just commentary. Go and learn more. Everything else is just commentary. There's that phrase that occurs here, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, for this is the law and the prophets, the entirety of the teaching of the Old Testament. Jesus uses that phrase one other place. When he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says, to love God and to love your neighbor. For this is the law and the prophets. To love God, to love our neighbor, is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so my challenge for you this week is to stop and think, who is one person that you are not treating the way that you would want to be treated? Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe it's somebody at school or at work. Maybe it's somebody in our church. Maybe somebody that you just encounter during your week. Who is someone that you don't treat the way that you would want to be treated? And I challenge you to take a step to start treating them with the same love and grace and dignity and respect that you want to receive. It might be a really hard thing for you to do this week. But as I said at the beginning, following Jesus is no easy task. These teachings that Jesus has for us are hard, but they're good, and they're worth doing. And as we do them, God will be with us, and God will help us. Amen.